Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Friday morning. Once again, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy and grace, has blessed us with the noble day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us that we love this day and our entire lives in His true obedience, and we carry out the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Being a Friday morning, we have the Sahaba focus now between the hours of 9 and 10. Our guest on this program is Mulana Muhammad Aku from the Darul Uloom in Newcastle, and this week Mulana speaks on the life of a great Sahabi, a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Makhdum. Let us listen to the life of this Sahabi and the valor and the enthusiasm with which he had for Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within us the true love for the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum.
بالله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم الحمد لله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to all our respected listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true طلب of deen. طلب is that desire to learn, to seek the knowledge of deen, to seek the deen of Allah ta'ala. This is a quality Allah loves most. This was a quality alive in Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. That's why one of the usools, one of the lessons, one of the purposes of the gasht, you know, in going in gasht also, to meet the brothers for Allah's sake, is, be talab walo ke paas, talab peda karna, is to go to mankind, go to one person, and create the talab of deen in the heart. Because when one has talab, then Allah will give. Allah will give those who want. A person comes to Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, that this is my son, I want him to be with you, I want him to be accepted for the deen. So Maulana says, MashaAllah, your want for him is very good. But he was quite grown up, the youngster. So Maulana says, do you want, O young man, when you want, Allah will give you. When we have the talab and the desire and the zest and that ambition, Allah Ta'ala will give us. Allah loves that. And this we find in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And when we don't have that is pride. No, I don't need. I have enough. Allah forgive us. Today, sadly, for dunya, no, I want more. We don't say that so-and-so of my family is very wealthy, so I don't need. I'm carrying on. But for deen, no, that so-and-so is an alim. So-and-so is hafiz of the Quran. So it's all right. You know, I'm safe. That person is in my family. It's enough. For dunya, no, I also want. That house has, you know, a lot of wealth, we also want. So we have the talab for the dunya, and we don't have it for deen. That is actually, we have our priorities muddled up, my respected listeners. Deen we're supposed to want, because that is the true investment, the investment of the akhirah. Deen is the investment of the akhirah. It's going to benefit us in this world and in the next. Dunya is short-lived. To such an extent that Allah says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Allah ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala gives dunya man ahab wa man la yuhab. Allah gives dunya to all and sundry. Anyone, whether Allah loves them or Allah dislikes them, meaning their actions are pleasing to Allah or pleasing to Him. So receiving dunya is no sign of the love of Allah. وَلَا يُعْطِي الدِّينَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَحَبْ. But if Allah gives you deen, it is the sign of the love of Allah. Deen and the knowledge of deen and the fikr for deen, the concern for deen, the worry for deen. In the Quran, there's a chapter called Zukhruf, which means the embellishments and the beautifications of this world. There's an amazing verse in this Quran, in this ayah, in this surah. Allah Ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولولا أن يكون الناس أمة واحدة لجعلنا لمن يكفر بالرحمن لبيوتهم سقفا من فضة ومعارج عليها يظهرون ولبيوتهم أبوابا وسررا عليها يتكئون وزخرفا وإن كل ذلك لما متاع الحياة الدنيا والآخرة عند ربك للمتقين. Allah Ta'ala, let me try and explain the crux of this, my respected listeners, is that this world is so valueless in Allah Ta'ala's sight. Allah Ta'ala could have given every non-believer palatial palaces of luxury, ultimate luxury, of silver, of gold, of valuables, to such an extent that the staircase to the palace could have been of such valuable content. The roofs, doors, whatever contained in those palaces, beautiful, luxury, all of this could have been given. But the reason is that believer would have lost his iman, because the iman is not strong enough to understand that this has no value in Allah's sight. When kullu dhalik, all of this is just the embellishments of this worldly life. Mata'ul hayati dunya is the mata', is a little bit enjoyment of this worldly life. It's just this worldly life that has value at all. Al hayatu dunya, mata' means goods or enjoyment. The origin of the word, the origin, where the word comes from, my respected listeners. Mata' means enjoyment. But Arabic is such a beautiful language. If you delve into the depth of the word, you'll find where the word comes from. Like the word mata'. Asma'i rahimahullah explains on his journeys where he found the original meaning, where it was used by the Bedouins for that rag, for a rag used to clean out the oven. What would happen is, at the bottom of the oven, like the bottom of the braai, there's a lot of, you know, rust and dirt and all those charcoal, the remainder. So there's one specific rag. You don't use a new rag for that all the time. One rag that is used for that all the time, that is tattered and torn, that is used just to clear it out, to put another set of charcoal or coal or something to prepare the meal or create the heat in the oven. That rag is referred to as mata'. That's how despicable the enjoyment of this world is. It is not reality. No matter how much one has of it, restless is still enveloping that heart. Because Allah, the heart has to be instilled with Allah, the love of Allah, the connection with Allah Ta'ala. So Allah, we have to put Allah in the heart. And then mata'ul hayati dunya, al hayatu dunya, this worldly life. This is just the embellishments of this worldly life. Al-hayat, life. Al-dunya, this world. Dunya also is an interesting word. Dunya means something low. From the word daniya yadna. Daniya yadna means for something to be very despicable and low. So dunya comes from there. It's something low in Allah's sight. And the other meaning of the word dunya, so dunya and adna, meaning the lowest, dunya. And another meaning of the word is from the word danayatnu, to be close. That it's close to people. People keep it close to their hearts. So it's no sign that Allah has love if Allah has given dunya. But then you might ask after that verse of the Quran, okay, why doesn't Allah Ta'ala give everything to the believer then? If the believer has to have all the wealth. So the response, as the Mufti Allah Sadamud Barakatum explained so beautifully, that if Allah had to give all the believers dunya and the non-believer doesn't get dunya, then where's the test? The non-believer will accept iman because of dunya, and Allah doesn't want anybody to accept iman because of dunya. We have to accept iman and accept Islam for Allah and for the truth. So talab, our desire, our talab has to be for akhirah. There was the sahabi. He had so much desire for deen, so much talab for deen, and he was visually impaired. He couldn't see. For iman, there is no condition. There is no limit. That no, if I'm strong, then I can only bring iman. Or if I'm rich, I can only bring iman. Or if I can see properly, then I can bring iman. No, there is nothing that can stop a person. If that heart is connected, if that heart is proper, Allah makes the means, Allah makes the way. Allah makes the way, my respected listener. Imagine what a man is who we speak of now. Allah revealed verses of Quran for him, in support of him. What was his name? What was his name? His name was Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum. Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum. So regarding his name, commonly known as Abdullah, Ibn al-Athir rahimahullah says he was actually Amr. Amr was his name, but he was known as Abdullah. His father was Qais. So his full name, Amr bin Qais bin Zaida bin Asam bin Harim bin Rawaha. So Amr bin Qais, his father was Qais. His mother was Ummu Maktoum. Ummu Maktoum. Ummu Maktoum is also a title. Ummu Maktoumin. Her name was actually Atika. Atika binti Abdullah bin Unkutha bin Amir. But she was known as Maktoum, the mother of Maktoum, the mother of the one visually impaired. And she was close in family ties with Khadija radiallahu anha, because Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, actually Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum was a family of Khadija radiallahu anha, Khadija radiallahu anha's cousin, because the mother of Khadija radiallahu anha, who was Fatima bint Zaida, Khadija radiallahu anha's father's name was Khuwaylid, Rasulullah's blessed wife, Ummul Mu'mineen. Her father's name was Khuwaylid. Her mother's name was Zaida. Fatima bint Zaida. So Fatima bint Zaida and Qais, the father of Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, they were brother and sister. So just to recap, Khadija radiallahu anha's mother, Fatima bint Zaida, and Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu's father, Qais, were brother and sister. That makes Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum first cousin of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. So his mother's name was Asika, but she was known as Ummu Maktoum, because that was an appellation or a title given to her, because her child was born blind. The preferred view, he was born like that. Other opinions are that after Badr that happened to him, but the preferred view is that he was born in that state. But from the early stages, this great Sahabi accepted Islam in Makkah Mukarramah, in spite of not having the ability to see. And he heard the da'wat of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his cousin told him, and he accepted Islam. And in the initial stages, when there was so much of difficulty, the Meccan stage was filled with sacrifice, with difficulty, with challenges, but he faced all of that with firmness, with braveness, and he withstood all those challenges. He underwent all these difficulties. وَعَانَا مِنْ أَذَا قُرَيْشٍ مَا عَانَاهُ أَصْحَابُهُ. He went through, he tolerated so much of harm from the Quraysh that all the other Muslims went through also. وَبَلَا مِنْ بَطْشِهِمْ وَقَسْوَتِهِمْ. And he experienced difficulties and harshness from them, and he did not give in. فَمَا لَانَتْ لَهُ قَنَاتٌ. He didn't give in. His back didn't bend. He didn't soften. He did not give up his iman. وَلَا فَتَرَتْ لَهُ حَمَاسَّةٌ. He didn't subdue. His enthusiasm did not slacken. وَلَا ضَعُفَ لَهُ iman. His iman did not weaken. And he remained firm, and so firm that nothing could shake him. And he knew his priority to learn the deen of Allah. To learn the deen of Allah and to strive for Allah Ta'ala. It was so emotional in the Durban Ijtima. Alhamdulillah, I traveled to the Ijtima with some brothers, friends of mine from town, who were new Muslim brothers. One brother was formerly Hindu, a sergeant. He joined us for the Ijtima. And Alhamdulillah, we went, and a few others as well. Now when we got there, Alhamdulillah, they made so much of khidmah, so much of welcoming. It was such smile, such love. Really, brothers at the Ijtima would just welcome you for Allah's pleasure, smile at you for the sake of Allah. This is the beauty of the work of deen. To treat people nicely, lovingly, you know, kindly for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Then they gave us to stay in one in a tent where they were our brothers from the Madrasatun Noor. Madrasatun Noor is a madrasa for our blind children. And they are learning the deen of Allah. And it's so amazing to see how they read the Quran, how they study the Quran, how they study the Hadith, my respected listeners. It is so emotional to listen to them and so inspiring. And then these friends of mine who were formerly, you know, non-Muslim, and then they embraced Islam. And there was one of them who wasn't even Muslim already. Sorry, wasn't even Muslim yet. Actually, three of them. And they were more, you know, touched by this, affected by this. And there was one youngster. Look at how Allah gives hidayat. His father actually lives near us in Newcastle. But he is visually impaired. And he is in Madrasatun Noor. He is in the madrasa studying deen, and his whole family is Hindu. One child in the family is Muslim, and he is blind. Look at now, you see who is blind and who can see. The actual blind one is not the one who cannot see with the physical eye. The one who does not see the love of Allah and the truth. He is actually blind. That's the actual blind person. ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى. Allah, the one who turns away from my message, Allah. The one who turns away from my remembrance and from my message. When the message of deen is brought to them, they turn away. And they turn away from Allah's deen. Their life will be miserable. Their life will be restless. And even on the day of judgment, they will be resurrected blind. So this youngster was so, it was such an amazing opportunity for us to be with them. See how they sacrifice in the istima. They go to the toilet and they go for the lectures and they listen and they take benefit. Allah forgive us. Sometimes we are well and we complain of this or that and we still can't make it to the istima. No, it will be dusty. No, how can I sleep on the floor? Did you ever think, my respected listener, my respected father and brother, how will it be in the grave, my friend? How will it be in the grave that children who are blind are coming and making some sacrifice for Allah's sake, and still I will stay at home because it's too comfortable for me there. I'm too comfortable in my comfort zone. What have we done for Allah? Have we thought about our friends, our brothers, our sisters in Burma? That we can't put ourselves through little inconvenience, because that's too difficult for us. Allah forgive us. Allah forgive us. We have to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice for Allah's sake. This Sahabi, he didn't give it. And he loved to learn deen. He had zeal to memorize the Quran, to become a hafiz of the Quran. This Sahabi, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum. He left no opportunity except that he seized it. Every time he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would ask Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for hadith and for Quran, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach him. And his zeal was so much that sometimes, unknowingly, he took others share. Because everyone had a share with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so merciful. He wanted good for mankind. He gave time to the Muslims. And non-Muslims also received their share. He would go to them. كثير التصدي لسادات قريش. He would frequently go and present the deen to the leaders of Quraysh. He would present the deen to everyone, to Quraysh, the leaders, the youngsters. And he wanted their hidayat. He wanted them to get saved from Jahannam. On one occasion, he was sitting with them. And it was by the Kaaba. This was in the Meccan stage. And who was around him? The seniors of Quraysh. Utba bin Rabi'ah, Shayba bin Rabi'ah, Amr bin Hisham, who was Abu Jahl, his name was Amr bin Hisham, Umayyah bin Khalaf, Walid bin Mughira, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining to them, dialoguing with them, discussing with them, answering their questions, hoping that let me get them, if they accept Islam, how many others will change through them? And if they accept Islam, my Sahaba will not be hurt anymore, because these are the ones that, you know, have the muscle, have the control. And as this discussion is taking place, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum is rushing from a distance, yastaqri'uhu ayah, asking, O Nabi of Allah, O Nabi of Allah, teach me from what Allah has taught you. Allimni mimma allamakallah. Allimni mimma allamakallah. Teach me from what Allah has taught you. Teach me something. What we have to understand is, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is busy with something very, very important. Understand the scenario, my respected person, that these are the seniors of Quraysh. Now this Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he is handicapped, he has this challenge, he has this difficulty, but he has the zeal to learn deen. And he didn't realize, Allama Baghawi rahimahullah explains that he didn't realize that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy at the time. So that zeal is calling, because from a distance now, O Nabi of Allah, can I come to you where you are? Teach me from what Allah Ta'ala has taught you. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was busy, he frowned and he turned away, meaning to pay more attention to those around him, because now he wants to get them and he's busy with them, because his worry was for the whole of mankind's hidayah. So he frowned and he paid full attention to this group around him, hoping that if they accept Islam, what a support it will be for deen, how many others will change. As soon as the beloved Nabi of Allah, as soon as the beloved of Allah Ta'ala completed this discussion with them, and he was just going until Allah Ta'ala revealed the Quran to him. So what happened to him was what happens when wahi comes normally. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becomes preoccupied, and you know, he is more, for that period of time, taken to a different state where wahi is coming down. The revelation of the Quran comes down, which was, you know, generally we are here in the hadith, which was very, very weighty. Even if he was on a camel, the camel would find that weight and have to sit down. If he was on the camel and the wahi was now coming down, if he was next to a sahabi, and because of the weight and the pressure and the power and the nur of that wahi, if perchance Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's knee or leg or thigh was next to someone, that person would feel that weight to be very, very, very weighty. So this is what happened. And the verses of the Quran was then revealed. After أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى وما يدريك لعله يزكى أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى أما من استغنى فأنت له تصدى وما عليك ألا يزكى وأما من جاءك يسعى وهو يخشى فأنت عنه تلهى كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة. 16 verses of the Quran, my respected. 16 verses of the Quran. Let's say, he, abasa. Abasa is the absent tense, meaning he. He, the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, frowned. Abasa, frowned. Watawalla, and he turned. This is the love of Allah for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Generally, Allah would address Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. Like, that would be now abasta watawallaita. But here, out of love for him and kindness towards him, because this would have more emphasis if it was you frowned and turned. So Allah says he frowned and turned. Anja'ahu al-a'ma, that the blind man came to him. Wama yudrika la'allahu yazzakka. O Messenger of Allah. Wama yudrika. What would tell you, what would inform you, O Allah's Messenger? Meaning that he would take lesson and attain purity from what you're going to teach him. So first it starts with the absent tense. Abasa, he frowned and turned. And then Allah Ta'ala brings the address to him out of kindness and mercy, bringing the message in slowly. And وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. O my Nabi, what would tell you, what would inform you that this man who's coming to you would attain purity, meaning what you're telling him will affect him, will empower him, will strengthen him, will purify him. Oh, yadhakkaru, or he'll take the advice, yadhakkaru, fatanfa'ahu al-dhikra, and the advice you would give him will benefit him. Oh, yadhakkaru, fatanfa'ahu al-dhikra. Allah is informing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that sahabi was blind. He wants to learn. He wants to purify himself. The lesson you're going to give him will benefit him forever, and he will impart it unto others. Amma man ja'aka yas'a, as for the one who comes, amma man istaghna, as for he who istaghna, yastaghni, he thinks himself self-sufficient, meaning he has pride, and he thinks he knows everything. He doesn't want to learn. فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى, behind him you are repeatedly frequenting yourself. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَذَّكَّى, and what is it to you? It is not upon your shoulders that he doesn't change. You gave the message. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى, and as for he who came to you rushing to learn. سَعَى يَسْعَى is to rush, and سَعَى يَسْعَى is to come with a great concern. Quran uses this word يَسْعَى 3 times on 3 occasions here. In the acquisition of knowledge, Allah loves the one who aspires and eagerly comes to learn. And elsewhere in the Quran, in Surah Jumu'ah, فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. We should practice it. you know, it's at time of Jum'ah, early, we should close up everything and rush with concern, with importance, with eagerness, with zeal, go to the Jum'ah, go to the masjid, following the sunan, properly bath, properly come early, apply ithar, sit attentively, listen to the dars, listen to the bayan, take lesson, learn from it. So, yas'a, fas'a'u ila dhikrillah. And the third occasion, Quran speaks of this, is about in Surah Yasin. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. And they came from the outskirts of the city. A man, he came with a great concern. He came rushing with concern, with worry. He came to help the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. He came to give da'wah. So these three occasions, in ilm, in jum'ah, and in da'wah, Allah uses the word yas'a, the importance of rushing with a concern and with zeal. So as for he who comes to you with a great concern, rushing to learn, وَهُوَ يَخْشَى, and he has the consciousness of Allah, and he has the fear of Allah. فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَنَهَى, so from him you turn yourself away. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَةٌ, no, it shouldn't be so. This is indeed a reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ, and he who once should remember it, take lesson from it, and so forth and so forth. There's so much of lesson in these verses of the Quran. And look at the mercy of Allah for the one who wants to learn. The one who wants to learn should never ever be refused. This is that lesson. Deen has so much of appreciation. Allah gives appreciation for the one who has talab. That's why if you have knowledge and someone asks you, you have to impart that knowledge. You have to share it. This is the requisite of deen. This is the demand of deen. And this is what happened in this verse of the Quran. The beloved messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is being informed by Allah about the Sahabi. So both are important. That those people who didn't want, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was working on them. But look at the importance of the one who wants. Look at the importance of the one who wants to learn. How much importance is given to him. And the other is also, he was weak. So Allah ta'ala gave the special care for him. But the lesson in this is that the talab, the one who has talab for deen, Allah wants to give him. And these verses of the Quran were revealed, and they will always be recited and always be read forever and ever. Because Quran is Kalamullah. Kalamullah, my respected listeners. And from the time these verses of the Quran were revealed, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would show so much of respect and more respect, like he respected and loved all his sahaba. But he increased now in regards to Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum. Whenever he came, Allah's Nabi would call him forward and make him sit near and ask him about himself, if he had any concerns or any needs or any questions. And why not? Because Allah Ta'ala presented this lesson via Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu. And this came from the Quran. It came in such an eloquent way, Quran al-Kareem presented its message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we learn the importance of talab. Have talab for deen. Allah will have special love for you. Allah loves those who have talab for deen. And now when Quraysh were harming the Muslim in the latter Meccan stage, then the 11th year after Nubuwah, then the people of Medina came for Hajj. Allah's Nabi invited them to Islam. 6 accepted Islam. In the 12th year, 12 of them came. 7 new brothers and 5 old. So they were 12. And then they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, we want you to send people to teach us. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent two sahaba radiallahu anhu with them. Who were they? Namely, Mus'ab bin Umair and Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum. See, there's no excuse to impart Allah's deen, to learn Allah's deen. Here now he's sent to teach deen. He's blind and he's teaching the deen of Allah. This is how valuable is Allah's deen. So Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu and Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhumah, they were the early sahaba to go to Medina Munawwara to teach the deen of Allah. As soon as they reached Medina Munawwara, Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum and Mus'ab bin Umair together were teaching the deen, were going to the people, were establishing the ta'aleem, explaining the masail of deen, performing the salahs. And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so many people accepted Islam at the hands of Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu in Medina. So no matter what our ailment, whatever our handicap, there's no excuse to serve deen in every way possible. We should push ourselves. Allah will bless us. Allah will give us qabuliyat. Allah will give acceptance. Allah will open the way. Allah will give tawfiq. when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated them to Medina Munawwarah, he chose Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum as his muazzin. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum. What potential? What potential? How much service of deen taken from this great sahabi, in spite of him being visually impaired? Bilal radiallahu anhu was one muazzin. Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu was the other muazzin. Both were the muazzins of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Masjid al-Nabawi. Sa'ad al-Qaradi radiallahu anhu was the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Masjid al-Quba. And Abu Mahzura, much later Abu Mahzura radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's muazzin in Makkah Mukarramah. It's a marvelous incident how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one safar, you know, the muadzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rendered the adhan. So they were these youngsters at one region. They were trying to mimic the adhan, you know, trying to imitate the adhan. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for them, youngsters. And then he said, who was, you know, rendering those words in such a beautiful voice? So they all pointed at me, Abu Mahzura says, and they all ran away. So imagine, Allah's Nabi says, who rendered the words so beautifully? A person was being negative and Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out positivity from there, that your voice is so beautiful, such potential you have. And Allah's Nabi gave him dua and made him repeat the adhan afterwards. Allah's Nabi recited, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And he made the sahabi repeat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi taught him the adhan. Then he embraced Islam. Then Allah's Nabi said, now you will be my muazzin in Makkah Mukarramah. He says, before that incident I had heard of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I detested what I heard. I didn't like him. When I met him face to face in person, I loved him more than anything else. This was the akhlaq of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's muazzin in Makkah Mukarramah, Abu Mahzura, Aws radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum was the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The muazzin, the work of adhan is such a virtuous deed, my respected listeners. The muazzineen on the day of Qiyamah will have the longest necks, meaning they'll be honored. They'll be higher than everyone in rank and state. Every person who comes to the masjid, the muazzin gets the thawab because he's inviting everyone. Such an invitation is the adhan. Hazrat Mufti Maulana Hasan Ahmad Barakatuhum explains the meaning of the adhan so beautifully. Or one of the indications of, you know, beautiful content we gain from the adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, 4 times. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Why do we repeat the takbir, the slogan, the announcement of Allah's grandeur and Allah's greatness 4 times? That is an announcement that Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. 4 times. This is to denote that this message is to be taken to the 4 corners of the world. That Allah is the greatest and nothing else has been. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. 2 times. Tawheed. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Tawheed. Belief in one Allah. And Risalat, belief in the messengership of, and the finality of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 4 times. This message of Tawheed and Risalat must be taken to the 4 corners of the world. Then, once we call mankind to Tawheed and Risalat, then we call mankind to Ibadat. And what's the greatest Ibadat? When it comes in our life and we perfect it, all the other Ibadat will be perfected and improved in our lives, which is Salah. Hayya ala Salah. 2 times. So we're calling mankind. This invitation. And Hayya ala al-Falah. Then again we announce the 5th and the 6th time. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Meaning Allah is the greatest and this message must be taken also to the highest mountain mustn't be left, but the da'wat of deen must be given. The lowest ravine must not be left, or valley, but the da'wat of deen must be given. And then the announcement is made. La ilaha illallah. There's no deity except Allah. Allah is one. Telling mankind, whether you come or you don't come, Allah is independent. Allah is perfect. Allah is one. Allah needs you not, and you need Allah. You need Allah for everything you do. You need Allah in every aspect of your life. So this announcement, adhan is such a beautiful invitation. So Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu became Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's muazzin. What a potential. What a privilege. What a work. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him very much. How they would do it is, sometimes they had a system. They had a system between them both. If Bilal radiallahu anhu would render the adhan, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum would make the iqama, or and vice versa. Sometimes Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu would render the adhan, and Bilal radiallahu anhu would the iqama, and in Ramadan they had a different system also. What would happen is, one sahabi would make adhan for tahajjud and for sehri, and that was Bilal radiallahu anhu. And for the fajr would be Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu. And in spite of being visually impaired, he never ever made a mistake in the adhan. And he never made a mistake in the time of the adhan. Such a virtue is the adhan. Umar radiallahu anhu says, Ali radiallahu anhu said, that I wish I had spoken to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he left this world for Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma to be the muadzins. What a ni'mat, what a work. Umar radiallahu anhu said, if it wasn't for the task and the burden of khilafat, I would have preferred to be the muadzin. What a work is the work of the adhan, to call the slogan of Islam, to call to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah's Nabi said, if people knew the virtue and the value of adhan, and standing in the first saf, the masjid would be filled from so early that everyone wants to stand in the first saf. That they would they would actually almost fight, and then they would resolve in taking lots. But okay, whoever's name comes out will have to stand in the first saf, and they would cast the lots or take those lots, and then first saf would be filled. And if people knew the value of adhan, they would also cast lots to give the adhan. This is the virtue of adhan. Then Sahaba asked, O Nabi of Allah, then what will happen after you? The ummah will fight for the adhan. Allah's Nabi said that no, before Qiyamah, the time will come where people will not understand the value of adhan, that they'll just give the adhan to anybody, to any person, that just let the adhan be given. No one will want to give the adhan. So they'll feel that the adhan is something that is brings the person's status low, and it'll be given to just anybody. Adhan is something of value. Adhan is something very, very great. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam valued the Sahabi so much. On 13 occasions, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on safar, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu in charge of Madinah Munawwara in his absence. In many, many expeditions, in many, many occasions. For example, on Badr also, but after that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu to actually come back and take over. But on many occasions, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, like Abu Waas, Ashira. When he went to Juhayna against Qurash bin Jabir in Suwayk, in Ghatfan, in Uhud, in Hamra'ul Asad, in Najran, in Dhatul Riqa', and even in Hajjatul Wada', on these great occasions, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu anhu was left in charge of Medina Munawwara in the absence of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the Battle of Badr, the verses of Quran were revealed in regards to the virtue of those who strive in Allah's path. Amazing verses. This comes in Tirmidhi Sharif, Bukhari Sharif. Allah Ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم فضل الله المجاهدين بأموالهم وأنفسهم على القاعدين درجة. And then till the end of the verses, Allah Ta'ala says, those that stay at home from the believers. This verse was revealed first, that لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين or لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين والمجاهدون. Those that stay at home and those that strive in the path of Allah can never ever be equal. And this, there were two Sahaba, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum and another Sahabi by the name of Abd ibn Jahsh. His name was Abd, not Abdullah bin Jahsh. Abdullah bin Jahsh, he was another Sahabi. Abd ibn Jahsh was his brother, whose title was Abu Ahmad. He was also visually impaired. Both these Sahaba, they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, but what about us? And then they turned to Allah, O Allah, we find it difficult. How are we going to go? What about us? What virtue will we have? They just cried to Allah, both of them. And as Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum said, O Allah, anzil udhbi. I have this, you know, ailment. Allah, you know best. So the verse was first revealed, لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين والمجاهدون في سبيل الله. Those that stay at home and those that strive for Allah's sake can never ever be equal. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Zayd, what did you write? Recite what you wrote down. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, he says, لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين. Then Allah's Nabi said, stop. This verse has come. غير أولي الضرر. Except the handicap. So this was in the verse. لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم. Those that stay at home. Except those who stay at home because they are handicapped and they can't, they are crippled, they are paralyzed, they can't, they are visually impaired. Except them, severe illness. Otherwise, for others, those that stay at home and those that strive in the path of Allah can never ever be. Allah has given great ranks to those that strive in Allah's path with their wealth and with themselves. Imagine, on this Nabi's request, this verse was revealed, غَيْرُ أُولِي الضَّرَفِ. But imagine, the Sahabi had so much of zeal for Allah's deen, in spite of being excused, he still didn't want to stay behind. He still didn't want to stay behind. He still wanted to strive for Allah's sake. He still wanted to give his life for Allah's deen. On every opportunity, either he would teach deen, impart deen, serve deen, and then he would strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala. How much he would strive in Allah's path. Abundantly he would strive for Allah's sake. In one occasion, it was either the 14th year or the 13th year. What happened was, it was the occasion of Qadisiyah. It was a severe battle where the whole of the Persian Empire had rallied against Islam and rallied against the Muslims. They wanted to, and then the Muslims were there in Persia, and Umar radiallahu anhu wrote to all the lands of Islam, every person who has any knowledge of battle and so forth, or with horsemanship, or any support, or any good opinion, he should be sent to me immediately. Al-ajal, al-ajal. And everyone came, and all the Sahaba were sent, and all the Tabi'in were sent to Qadisiyah. Even though the Muslims were much less, the Mushrikeen, the people of Persia were 200,000, and the Muslims were just approximately about 50,000. And now, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum was also in the path of Allah. He was wearing his armor, his coat of mail, and then he presented himself to say, I will carry the banner. I will carry the banner. Just put me between the two rows, and I will carry the banner. I can't see, so I won't run anywhere. And whoever can defend me, but I will stand firm. And the two armies met in those 3 days of Qadisiyah. Very, very fearsome, brutal, difficult days. And it was such a battle that the like of which was never ever experienced in history. Where the small group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum took on the Persian Empire. And alhamdulillah, the Muslims conquered and won. And the throne of shirk and kufr and idolatry and fire worship then was then removed. And the banner of Tawheed and oneness of Allah was then established in those lands. Many, many Sahaba were martyred. Amongst them was this great Sahabi, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, radiallahu anhu. He was found after that, with blood smeared all around him, hugging the banner of the Muslim. This is how he gave his life. This is how he gave his life for Allah's sake. He gave his life for the deen of Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see him, Allah's Nabi would say, مَرْحَبًا بِمَنْ عَاتَبَنِي فِيهِ رَبِّي مَرْحَبًا بِمَنْ عَاتَبَنِي فِيهِ رَبِّي. Welcome, welcome Abdullah. Welcome to the one who my Allah has educated me in his regard. Allah has educated me in his regard. Allah Ta'ala give us the love of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. May Allah give us that zeal. May Allah give us that aspiration, that thirst to want to learn the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And what we have to remember is, if Allah has given you dunya, it is a gift of Allah. It is not for dunya that Allah has given you dunya. Allah has given us dunya for the sake of Allah. If you use your dunya for Allah, it no longer remains dunya, it becomes deen. You used it for deen, and that's also needed. Then your dunya becomes deen, then you become valuable. That is the love of Allah will use you, my respected listeners. So the world alone is not despised. If it is taking us from akhirah, it is making us oblivious of the objective, it is taking us away from our priority, then it is despised, and then we are failing our test. Our talab and our zeal, and if Allah has given us dunya, my respected listeners, and Allah has given us time, don't waste our time. Use our time for deen. Go to the ulama, sit by them, learn from them, ask them to teach us Quran. You know, sit by the ulama, go to the imam of our masjid, learn more and more of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Don't feel, sometimes Allah has given us time, and we're spending our life doing nothing, you know, wasting our time. And when we have so much, so if Allah has given us so much, utilize our time wisely. Learn from the ulama. Benefit, learn. Don't say, no, my time has passed and I'm too old now. There's no such thing, my respected listeners. In the past, people were utilizing, you know, those simple phones, you know, small phones. And before that, there was just the card. Even elderly people today, they're not using the old phones. You find they're also using the brand new ones, the bigger ones. Not long ago, the style was actually to have the smaller the phone, the better. Now the bigger the phone, the better. But how it fits in the pocket, Allah knows best. Nothing else can fit in the pocket. So the whole computer and everything is inside the pocket. But even elderly people are using that. But the irony of the whole thing is, we don't say, no, I'm old, so I can't learn how to utilize this. We're also learning how to do everything on that phone. So can't we learn about our deen, which is going to help us in akhirah? Can't I correct my Fatiha? Can't I correct my Yasin? Can't I improve it? Can't I make niyat or intention to become a hafiz and learn the deen and learn the ahadith? Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us tawfiq. That's it. The quls of the sahabi and all the sahaba. Radiallahu anhum. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.